Drive east along Interstate 80 from San Francisco towards Sacramento, past vast acres of alfalfa, watermelon, and rice, and you'll eventually come upon a two-story mural of a solitary figure squinting out across the land. Dressed in a plaid shirt, jeans, and work boots, a tuft of gray hair peeking out beneath a baseball cap. The figure kneels in a patch of sunflowers. With one hand, the figure cradles a husky yellow Labrador. The other hand points out to the horizon. The figure is a farmer. He is a middle-aged man, and he's white. The artist who painted the 20-by-20-foot mural, titled Stewards of the Soil, says that she meant to pay tribute to the farmers in her community. I don't fault her for wanting to honor them. Farming is difficult work, and I acknowledge that her mural reflects the picture most people have in mind when they envision the American farmer. And yet, every time I drive past it, I can't help but think it tells only part of the story. Surely, somewhere across the thousands of acres, there must be a handful of black and brown farmers. Who are they? What stories might they tell if given a chance? My passion for the stories of black farmers and my interest in the related issues of land stewardship and food justice were first sparked one morning years ago when I was a student at the University of California, Berkeley. Once a month, usually on a Saturday, I bought groceries from my paternal great-uncle, Louis Bazille. He was one of the few members of my father's family to have migrated to California from Louisiana in the 1940s, and one of only two who'd settle in San Francisco. In his early 70s, by the time I enrolled in Berkeley, Uncle Louis looked forward to my monthly visits. He was usually standing in his doorway waiting for me when I pulled up in front of his house on Lyon Street. That particular Saturday, I was running late. Rather than shop for Uncle Louis's groceries at my local supermarket in Berkeley, I stopped at a supermarket a few blocks down Telegraph Avenue in Oakland. I was appalled by what I encountered. Worse than the dismal lighting and dingy tiled floor was the poor quality of the produce. A few limp bunches of collards and withering mustards, shrunken heads of cabbage, bushels of shriveled green beans and apples and pears that were dented and bruised. The inequity between the two markets, this one in Oakland and my neighborhood market in Berkeley, was glaring. I was infuriated and offended. How, I wondered, could the produce in the market near campus where all the white students shop be so bountiful, while the produce in the same supermarket chain just a few blocks away where the black people shopped be so inferior? Back then, no one I knew spoke of food justice and food sovereignty. The term food apartheid wasn't part of the lexicon. I had no outlet for my frustration, no place to express my outrage. But the memory of picking through those bins of substandard produce stuck with me. Years later, I learned that my maternal great-great-grandfather, Mack Hall, born 1845, arrived on one of the last slave ships and was sold twice before landing on the Stamps Plantation in Butler County, Alabama. After emancipation, he settled in the tiny rural settlement of Long Creek, near Georgiana. He was a merchant, blacksmith, beekeeper, and farmer, and eventually owned 680 acres of land thick with peach orchards. The family home place was only 50 miles from the Tuskegee Institute. Five of Mack Hall's grandsons, whom everyone referred to as the Hall brothers, learned carpentry and brick masonry at Tuskegee. Years later, They carried those skills with them when they migrated to Detroit, Michigan, where they built two-story brick houses for themselves and their family members in Royal Oak Township.